God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Welcome, everybody. So this is a workshop on tools for working the steps. And the plan is for Vim and I to each share for about 10 to 12 minutes or so. And then we'll open it up for sharing, and then we'll close a minute or so before 11:15, so we can close with the Al-Anon declaration. So Vim has decided would like to go first.
Okay, hi everybody. Hi. Welcome to the workshop. So my goal is to talk about the tools for working the steps through the literature. I looked at some of the literature and looked at what's contained in some of the literature and what the wisdom is in some of the literature. So it's basically an overview of the steps using the readings. And what I saw when I started out looking at the literature were a couple of pages in Courage to Change. One is page 26. I'd read the 12th step many times before I saw it, but there it was, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. What a promise. If I worked these steps, I'd have a spiritual awakening. There was hope, even for me. Now, that's not why I first came to Al-Anon. Like many, I came to find out how to make someone stop drinking. It was much later when I realized that my life was missing a sense of direction only a higher power could provide. Those wonderful 12-step words gave me the encouragement I needed to begin at the beginning. Slowly, sometimes painfully, I worked my way through the steps. In time, something amazing happened. I was filled with a sense of my God and His love for me. I felt whole. I knew I'd never be the same again. Today's reminder, the steps offer me a roadmap for living that leads to a spiritual awakening and beyond. I can't skip ahead to the end of the journey, which can at sometimes be a hard one, but I can put one foot in front of the other and follow the directions I've been given, knowing that others who have gone before me have received more along the way than they had ever dreamed. Quote, the first time I ever heard the 12 steps read at a meeting, I became very still. I felt I was not breathing. I was just listening with my whole being. I knew deep within me that I was home, as we understood. So this really talks about what you get as a result of working the steps. And so, and I think it's important to realize what we are getting. It's also important to know the process. And I have another reading here. Okay. So tradition 5 says each Al-Anon family group has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves, by encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives, and by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics. So by working the steps, we get to that point when we're able to give it away. We're able to help families, because when we come in, we haven't done the steps. So we're not whole yet. We still have a lot of work to do. So if we want to get to the point where we're helping other people, then we need to, like I said, work the steps. So working the steps has the advantage of keeping us too busy. So we're so busy working on ourselves that we're not meddling with the alcoholic. And we learn to take care of ourselves through the steps. We want to encourage and understand the alcoholics, but when we come in and our lives are unmanageable, it's really hard to understand the alcoholic, want to help the alcoholic. For me, I was so sick that I couldn't help anybody and I couldn't help myself. So, and I didn't know how sick I was until I got here, started working with a sponsor, started working the steps, and realized my life is unmanageable, I'm powerless. Realize that I come to believe a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity And when I turn my will over in step three, then I can really start to delve into what the problem is, what's the defects, what's going on with me that I need to work on so I can be usefully and happily whole. And when I haven't worked the steps, I don't have a relationship with a higher power. Through the steps, my higher power has helped me get filled with his love. And so if we work the steps, we get to that spiritual awakening. The literature says that's one of the promises. Now, in the early steps, we admit we're powerless. We learn the higher power has no such limitations. So we're powerless, but the higher power is all powerful. So our will is in his hands. Another page from Courage to Change. So, April 22nd, Courage to Change, page 113. At first, the idea of searching for defects of character, wrongs, shortcomings, and harm I have done can seem like just another excuse to be hard on myself. That's why it's so important to concentrate on the first three steps long enough to develop a strong spiritual foundation. In these early steps, we admit the areas over which we are powerless, such as alcoholism and other people, and learn that a power greater than ourselves has no such limitations. We decide to place our will and our life in the hands of this higher power. We let go of the burdens that were never ours to carry, and we begin to treat ourselves more kindly and more realistically. When we move on to later steps, we do so for our well-being. We begin a process that is immensely rewarding, and we go forward under the guidance of a higher power. This enables us to be much more gentle with our recovery. Today's reminder, the first three steps are the cornerstone on which my progress is built. No matter how long I've been in this program, I won't hesitate to touch base with the foundation of my spiritual health. Quote, I now have a goal I can see clearly and the program with which to work toward it. It is my guide to self-improvement, comfort, and a better way of life. The dilemma of the alcoholic marriage. So, what some of our literature talks about is working through the childhood guilt and shame and the resentments and fears. And if I can clean up all that wreckage and I'm willing to let my higher power I'm giving over my defects of character to my higher power so he can work on them. If I'm willing to turn them over to my higher power, then I can go on to later steps. Now, to keep it simple, steps 1, 2, and 3 are giving up. Steps 4 through 6 are growing up. Steps 7 through 9 are making up. And 10 through 12 are keeping up. The literature says we come to the program in distress and despair, and working the steps keeps us on the path and helps us get rid of the burdens and our pain. Our character defects are glaring, and the steps help us lessen the burden. And when we do an inventory, we become entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character in step 6. So the tools that I use are literature, sponsorship, writing, and service. So what I do is I use the questions. I read the readings in Path to Recovery, the readings in all the three readers, the readings and how Al-Anon works. And so I can either do the questions, which I've done some of the questions in here. I can also work on out of the Blueprint for Progress, which has a lot of really good sections on it. One is love, shame, control, resentment, self-worth, and anger. When I do those questions and talk to my sponsor about them, then I'm able to find out about me and what my defects of character are, what my assets are, then I'm more able to be usefully and happily whole. How many minutes?
You got 1 to 3 minutes.
Okay. So the preamble to the 12 steps talks about the study of these steps are essential to progress in the Al-Anon program. So the steps are a guide to find answers to our problems and make peace with our past. We get to know ourselves. The steps are designed to do one at a time and with a sponsor. They're action steps. We read about them, we think about them, and then we talk them over. And talk them over with friends. The steps help us be of service to others. We understand the alcoholics. And in my case, the alcoholics are not still drinking. My brother's death brought me in because a year later I wanted to work on myself because I was a mess. I was really in a lot of pain because I was really not able to help him. I was critical of him and shunned him and that kind of thing. So when I work on the steps, I pray for the insight and surrender and the willingness to search for what is true for me. So carrying the message and the ability to carry the message comes through working the steps. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Rosanna.
Hi, Rosanna.
I'm a grateful member of this program. When we figured out what our topic was going to be on the tools, what I thought about was, what tools have I used in the past that have helped me? And I grew up in a family where there was no alcohol abuse, but alcohol was used, but I grew up with the isms. And one of the isms was, don't admit you've made a mistake, because that means that this was my dad mostly. And because when you admit you've made a mistake, it means you're human, or it means you are sometimes wrong, which I guess maybe opens up a crack that, oh, maybe you're wrong about some other stuff. To me, it was a way of showing his power. And I also grew up in a house where we didn't actually have conversations with one another, or my parents didn't, but we could talk about them behind their back. So there was gossip going on. I learned how to gossip. I learned how to not trust my intuition. I didn't know... I didn't feel very much confidence, but I didn't want anyone else telling me what to do. I had to appear like I was strong. Don't be vulnerable. There were a few times, and this is a generalization. My family, I'm one of seven kids, and I see all of my siblings now. We all get along. I love being around most of my family. I have boundaries now that I didn't have before. But there were some things that were kind of pinnacle in my growing up that made me start protecting myself. I started shutting down. I had the higher power of somebody else's understanding, and that higher power was my last resort. If I had no other hope, I went to that higher power and made deals. I negotiated, if you give me this, then I'll do that. I felt that that higher power had, that God had power, but... loving in the way that, in my understanding, loving in a way that a parent would punish their child, loving in that way, I'm doing this for you, type of attitude. So I learned how to pretty much avoid feeling certain feelings like sadness and anger. And through coming to this program and working these steps, I am learning to... not shut down any feeling. I'm learning the difference allowing myself to feel all my feelings. My disease is about being in control. And when I allow myself to feel my feelings, and then over here is any action I might take, I keep them separate. My feelings are one thing. And what I've learned is if I act in those feelings, I'm reacting. And if I use my program, then I get to have this other response. So I get to have this and or have this other response. I didn't grow up with alcohol, but I grew up with lots of the isms. And when I think about the tool that has helped me the most, it has to be sponsorship. Because I don't know if you've heard the acronym for ism. It means I sponsor myself. And for me, I cannot sponsor myself because I buy my own crap. I've finished my steps. I've been in the program for a while, and I just finished my steps last year. And I am in regular contact with my sponsor. I'm going back over the steps now each month. I work on the step of the month. And what I know is that my perspective of me is skewed. No matter how long I stay in this program, I am now leaning on my sponsor more and more because I can see how skewed my thinking still is. And so how has having a sponsor helped me work the steps? I'll read these two wonderful pieces of literature. There's a literature table that we have here, and both of these are available. This bookmark is called Sponsorship, Working Together to Recover. And, you know, my fear around getting a sponsor in the beginning was she had to be the same faith as me, because I thought she would tell me what to do, and that would be get a divorce from my alcoholic, and I didn't want to get a divorce. So it took me about a year before I actually got a sponsor, because I had all these parameters around what she was supposed to look like. And I wasn't getting what I wanted, I became more flexible. And I ended up finding a woman who was, she accepted me where I couldn't. She loved me where I couldn't. She was like just a gentle place for me to fall. She held up the mirror and let me see the things that I was unwilling to see for myself, and that was I was okay. In my disease growing up, I only saw what was wrong. I couldn't see what was good. And she reminded me of those things, and she was a wonderful first sponsor. She was on step four, and what I learned is I sponsor women who I can sponsor someone only if I have recovery on with the step that they're on. And there are multiple ways of doing of sponsorship. Some people believe that they sponsor someone when they've finished all their steps. I was taught I can sponsor someone if I'm one step above where they are. And she was on step four, and I started, and I ended up being on step four. And she said, okay, good job. Time for you to go find someone else. And I did that. And she was a great starter for me. But what I like, it's got this little section down here. It says, sponsorship is a relationship built on equality, anonymity, and trust. And lots of us, for me, I grew up not trusting myself and not trusting others. And this bookmark has helped me now with how I show up for my sponsees, and how I want my sponsor to show up for me, and what my responsibility is in that sponsor-sponsee relationship. And it's, you know, we don't give advice as sponsors. We share experience, strength, and hope. And sponsorship, to me, is a great way for me, being a sponsor, to practice a detachment and share my experience, strength, and hope, and practice being a good listener. And in walking through the steps with the women I sponsor, I get to then reflect back on how I'm showing up for myself. Let's see. There's one part in here. Here it is. An opportunity for self-discovery, not a teacher-pupil relationship, which was huge for me as I struggled with one sponsor and ended up feeling that it was time to end that relationship. So this was awesome help for me. And then this, I won't go into this, but sponsorship, what it's all about, is a great help. If you're looking for a sponsor, or you're thinking of being a sponsor, it just, to me, this gave me confidence that I didn't need to have something special. I just needed to show up and be me, share my truth, and be a good listener, and be supportive, and practice that unconditional love. Without a doubt, if I had to pick one tool that I would want for working the steps, it would have to be sponsorship. The next tool that really helped me was time. And I, like Vim, used Paths to Recovery. I also used all the daily readers. Whatever the topic was that I was working on in Blueprint for Progress, then I would go back to my daily readers and read up on that topic and then start answering the questions. And what and the tools that I use now, a lot of them came from my sponsor giving me ideas. And then also, as I learned to trust myself, I found that I created these tools that worked for me. And so time in the sense that I won't get out of this, I will get from this program whatever I put into it. If I am about answering the questions, then that's all I'm going to get is ink on a piece of paper. For me, what I try to do and what I encourage the women I sponsor to do is read the questions and then walk away. Give myself time to answer the questions. What I found is if I really want to grow, then I need to see how this question, how the questions actually apply in my life. Not what's in my head, because this is the crap I tell myself. I need to let it settle and then come back and read the question again. It's like, all right, what is my truth? How am I actually showing up based on this question? And what I feel is, I just had a different thought. It's about sponsorship, and I'm going to say it right now. What a sponsor does is it helps me look for the jewels in my life and help me point me to things that I might not be able to see. And in working the questions, what I do is then when I'm ready to start writing on it, I start writing. But what I've learned to do is not edit myself when I'm writing. So I might be answering a question, and all of a sudden, if I've given myself time to be grounded when I'm writing, I start writing about something totally different. And what I know is I might have brought all my tools to find gold, but if I'm writing and I end up finding rubies, I don't throw the rubies out. The rubies are still of value. And for me, that has helped me not try to, I edit because I want it to look good. I want it to be pretty and organized and everything in its spot. But when I do that, I'm back to my controlling ways. And like Vim, my higher power is, you know, we end up gradually getting to that point, particularly in step three, where we start being willing to have a higher power help us with our stuff. And what I've learned is that when I am uncomfortable, that's usually where my higher power gets to meet me. When I'm in control, I'm my higher power. Okay. Let's see. And also I learned, you know, it took me a long time to finish the steps. And I always thought people would come into the room and they came in after me and they were on steps ahead of me. It's like, shucks, I'm falling behind or something's going on. And someone shared with me, it's like we're all on a track at a field and we're just going around in a circle and no one's getting away, you know. So it's all okay. And that some of us come in and we just skim the surface of all the steps and then we go back and dig a little deeper. And some of us, depending on maybe the style of your sponsor, if you're working with a sponsor, or our literature says an Al-Anon friend, some of us, which is what I did, I dug a little deeper. And so it took me a little bit longer. And I also made some choices along the way that stalled my recovery too, because I wasn't willing to do the work at times. Let's see. And then the third thing is fellowship. Going to meetings where they talk about the steps. Listening to other people share on what worked for them and what didn't work for them around the steps. When answering the questions, if it's like, I don't know how I'm supposed to answer that, I go and talk to my sponsor or I call up Al-Anon friends and say, what did you put down for that answer? Because I don't want to just answer it. I want to answer it from here, not from here. And also, you know, for me, my higher power has changed over the time. And as I work on my relationship with my higher power, and I just, there's so much to be said for honesty and just allowing myself to show up as I show up and to look at what do I identify as my higher power. And sometimes my sponsor was my higher power, which is not a good idea. When I'm honest with myself, I allow myself to really see where I'm showing up, and my relationship with my higher power has evolved from being a man with a white
robe.
Yeah, a white robe on, to the principles of the program. It has changed, and I glean that from listening to others be honest about themselves in the meetings and what their higher power looks like. Now let's see, how much time do I have? I'm getting close to being done. So let's see. And then before I go on to the last thing, which is service, one of the tools that I use in my, it was in my seventh step, where I was asking my higher power to remove all my defects. Let's see. Did I lose it? I don't know where it is. So I'm visual, and my sponsor had me write, in working in the blueprint for progress, what I like about it is it's in-depth. And I really get, they come at it from different angles. And I get to, if I'm missing myself from this angle, they're going to come at it from another angle. And in the end, so, you know, some people do the four-step inventory the way they do it in the other program. And that all works. For me, when I did it in the Blueprint for Progress, what I got was not just about my resentments, but one of my biggest character defects is not being honest. And there's a whole bunch of other ones. And what I found at the end of working in Blueprint for Progress, my sponsor had me in my seventh step list all of my defects on one side of an index card. So they'd be all right here. And then over here, I also found my assets, which I was afraid to look at. And if I was going to be honest in working this step, I was going to find stuff that was keepable about myself. And so what she had me do was, with the defects on this side and the assets on this side, she had me fold the card over like this. So I couldn't see the defects anymore, but I had the list of all the things I already had available to me. And I carried it around and I saw how I was actually using them. It made me be really aware of myself and how my thinking really messes me up. Also, on my eighth step, my sponsor asked me, who is the woman you want to be? And I wrote down four things, and I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I know a couple of them. One of them is to have humility, to be honest, to be responsible, to be understanding and tolerant. And there's one more I can't remember. And what I did was, because I'm visual, I wrote it down and put it in my bathroom mirror, and it became my spiritual dress. And I see it, and it's like, let me be this. Let me wear this. Let me wear this higher power. And what I found through this fourth thing, service, is that I saw myself actually wearing the dress because I was showing up in service. What service has done for me regarding my steps is, especially the positions that are not short, those three-year-long positions, or the length of time, what I do is I keep showing up and I keep being, what is the word? I don't know what the word is. I'm not okay. Uncomfortable in not the higher power, uncomfortable kind of way. I am frustrated. And what it does is it brings it back to me, to look at me. Because the situation is being what it is, and I keep ending up wanting someone else to do something different. What that means is I'm not admitting my powerlessness over the situation. And it's in those times where my higher power has really shown up for me and showed me what I needed to look at about myself. I just lost my train of thought. I would say that my relationship with my higher power and seeing who I really am is magnified by doing service. And I think I'm done. Let's say I'm done. We have 30 minutes for shares. So thank you for listening.